Welcome to Radio Economica this Thursday morning. We are welcoming Mr. Jorge Valero on Radio Economica today.
Good morning.
Good morning. Mr. Valero, you follow events in a very close way, and you have come today to analyze what happened yesterday, which was the speech on the State of the Union by the President of the European Commission. And you sent a number of articles, in particular, your first analysis saying, towards a post-corona world. This was the first speech on the State of the Union by Ursula von der Leyen. What are your general observations on this event of yesterday?
Yes, so I'll give you first my like a quick and quick analysis, basically in a tweet. It will be basically that I think that von der Leyen speech was correct, but there was no epic, there was no big speech, there was no huge announcement, no soundbite to remember, to be remembered in for sure, far from speeches that we could hear in the United States, for example. I mean, that famous speech, JFK, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, during his first year and after a crisis with the famous moon landing program. Of course, I mean, it's different to be president of the United States and be president of the Commission. All it was more of the same in terms of, it was more ambition on the same priorities, both on and green. And it was also true that her language was stronger on foreign affairs, being a bit aligned with this geopolitical commission, beefing up a bit her stance on Russia, on China. But in general, it was a compilation of measures already announced, and she was vague on other topics. Particularly myself, I was not like either inspired or impacted by the speech. And I mean, it's a pity because it was her first State of the Union. So she had an opportunity to, let's say, set the tone and the course for not only for her mandate, because the Europe that she presented to us in December is very different, or quite different, to what should be achieved now compared to now. And also, I think it was a pity because of, Europe is different because it was her first State of the Union. And also because of she spoke for 80 minutes. It was a very long speech. I think it was rather, there were a lot of, initiative mentions, but not many details given, as she warned us actually in the speech. She told us that she was not going to enter into details. So she described a more humane and greener Europe, but we don't know very well how we're going to get there, because she spoke about, she mentioned the fragility of the reality we're facing. She somehow made a reference to the need of trust, so somehow implying that maybe trust is not at its best among member states or institutions. But I think the speech lacked a bit of political backbone, vision, and more spirit. We must say also that the reception was mixed among, for example, experts and the community, the EU bubble, let's say. While some people said that the speech had no vision and it was rather a laundry list of initiatives, Some others were more happy and said that the tone was right. Some diplomats also agreed that she was rather vague, and there were no surprises and no spirit. And some other experts were more positive and said that she was political, she was humane, and she went beyond what was expected on foreign affairs. So this is a bit of an overview, and we could now enter into more into details.
Okay, thanks for this global overview of her speech, and of course reactions are still coming. People have to sort of reflect quickly, but where would you agree that Ursula von der Leyen was strong? I mean, she my feeling is she insisted a lot on a human society, on the fragility of our societies today, and also on one of the responses by the EU, which is health union. And of course, this was a mixed message, as far as I perceive, because she made proposals, but of course, we know that the package of July was a lot of cutting on health expenditure and perspective. She also insisted on the SURE mechanism, well, didn't she? I mean, all these measures that have to do with sustaining society, people, employment, health.
Yeah, so basically on replying to your question, the strongest parts for me were for sure the foreign affairs, and here we have to remember that that basically, I mean, the competences are on the member states' hands, and basically they were her main target when she advocated again in favor of breaking the unanimity rule in the council, at least to approve human rights decisions. She had very strong words and remarks for China and Russia. When she was referring to Russia, she made also a reference to this controversial pipeline, without naming it, Nord Stream 2, connecting Russia and Germany, basically saying, I mean, suggesting that it's not possible, maintain or hope that we could have a normal relationship with a country that is killing people within its borders, the Navalny case, and outside its borders. And the same goes for China and in the field of human rights and the Chinese treatment of the Uyghur minority and the Hong Kong security law. So that part was pretty strong. And then, of course, I mean, the big announcement, so to say, was in the green agenda, because this is somehow, well, I mean, this is for sure the overarching priority of her mandate. It's a bit the topic that channels of her political energy and covers all the policy areas to transform Europe and make it more sustainable and greener. And here is where she said that the announcement was to increase the CO2 reduction from 40% to at least 55% by 2030. The announcement was already leaked to the press days before, so it's a bit odd that the speech was super protected. I mean, not even some, what I've heard is that not even director generals directly involved in the speech had access to it just before it was released by the president. So I don't understand why she has to be so protective if that's not going to be, you know, like a huge announcement or a new line in whatever topic. So
let's take a step back, since you mentioned foreign policy.
Yes.
I think you observe in your article and others as well, particularly the Financial Times, that she was strong on foreign policy. She had strong words. And as far as I understand, she was fairly critical of the member states and some approaches, for example, to Russia by some member states. She was sort of calling the member states to caution in some areas. Would you say she was in a way stronger or less cautious, perhaps, than previous presidents of the Commission on these issues? I mean, she addressed third countries, she called upon the United Kingdom, upon the United States. She didn't go in the line of this is Europe first, but she was very strong, and perhaps this was, maybe you could explain her, of course.
Yeah,
she announced the geopolitical Europe, but
yeah. So yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say. So there are maybe two reference points that we need to take into account to judge her remarks on foreign offense. One, the first one is, first of all, that she has positioned herself and her commission as a geopolitical commission. So of course, I mean, she has to, I mean, speak up. In this domain, because otherwise she won't be acting as she promised to do to be. Secondly, I think the situation has changed a lot over the past, or it has changed over the past couple of years, 3 years, with China, with Russia. I think what we have seen, of course, is continuation of what's happening with China and with Russia, but now further amplified. I think they keep breaking, crossing the line even further to levels that we haven't expected. I mean, what happened in Hong Kong, what happened with the Uyghur minority, referring to China, or what happened with the Navalny case, I think it represents situations and cases that Europe that defends their values around the world and speaks up in defense of the human rights cannot tolerate. So that's why, I mean, because there is always this false dilemma between whether Europe will defend its interest and its values. I mean, I think at some point you. And that's what we could see with the Nord Stream 2, that in the case of Germany especially, of course, Russia is not, we always knew that Russia is not a democracy like the ones we have in Europe, and Russia is under Putin has taken a very dangerous path towards a semi-autocracy. Still we had a relationship, trade relationship, and a strong energy ties with Russia. I think von der Leyen and member states are increasingly reconsidering and worry about what to do, because I mean, of course, our energy dependency is in that regard our Achilles heel, but we somehow, I mean, maybe the Green Deal, or the Green Deal also aims for reducing our energy dependency in that regard. And this is something that von der Leyen said yesterday. And with regards to China, the biggest turning point happened last year when, at least on paper, China became a systemic rival of the EU because of our different political systems. And also over the past couple of years, Europe has realized that China is not delivering on the economic front and the trade, economic openness, and a more, let's say, fair and balanced economic relationship. So they are losing their, I mean, patience, and so they are stepping up the pressure. So yes, I mean, definitely her words were stronger than previous commission presidents.
Okay. Now, you mentioned the green and digital priorities.
Yes.
This is, of course, the big thing in this commission. And where would you say she was particularly ambitious, and perhaps, according to some observers, maybe overreaching? I mean, because the commission does not have all the powers, but she insisted on, of course, the big package of July. And you mentioned very ambitious targets in emissions cuts.
So basically, as I was saying in the introductory part, I see touch upon many issues, but she was rather vague on the details. So, for example, she made a reference to a European Health Union, and we have to see what that will imply. Specifically, as she mentioned, of course, strengthening in a practical from a practical angle, she mentioned strengthening the power of the agencies, the European Medicines Agency, the Agency for the Disease Control, but she also spoke about creating a new agency for biomedicine research, which will have play a big role, for example, during this pandemic. Also, she made reference to two proposals that have been long awaited, which are the minimum wage framework. Mm-hmm. We'll have to deliver in the next weeks, and of course the migration proposal that became even more urgent after what happened in Lesbos, in Moria camp last week, and the proposal has been brought forward to next week. This is and here what we could see, and this is going to be controversial, is that in one moment von der Leyen said that she will scrap the Dublin Agreement, that basically is the controversial element of the migration system in Europe, which basically states that those countries, those member states where the migrants are arriving, will have to handle and offer asylum to them and handle them, and basically that what creates is this situation of overburden for the border member states like Italy, Greece, and Spain, or Cyprus, for example, or Malta, while those in the northern part of Europe, let's say, suffer less consequences. And that's why during the migration crisis, the Commission had to improvise this reallocation system that it was not properly followed, so on and so forth. So what the Commission is trying to do is again to balance this system of more, let's say, burden sharing between member states, stronger control at the borders, proper legal channels for the migrants to arrive to Europe, and at the same time, more solidarity as well. And also and this is one of the key lines that von der Leyen said yesterday, basically said something like, no lives could be lost at the sea. I mean, that's not human. So regardless of what migration system you have, it's not human to see people dying on the sea.
Now, some observers have been rather skeptical of the Commission's capacity to convince member states, because this is a lasting bone of contention. There is lack of solidarity among the member states, even though the current situation is not really tenable. Greece is being put under too much pressure, and our borders generally are being challenged. What have you seen on the issue of migration, and what's your?
My feeling is that I think it's gonna be, I mean, as everybody expects, it's gonna be very, very hard to convince member states, and especially some member states, about the need to accept migrants when they arrive to other parts of Europe. I think that at the end of the day, it will be a bit like what is happening in the or what happened in the recovery fund negotiations, or what happened in the in the MF multi-annual financial frameworks negotiations that you will have to trade playing with many different issues because countries, and this is a message that came, for example, from the Netherlands and other countries, that those countries, those member states and governments like, I don't know, Poland, Czech Republic or Hungary, that they don't want to accept migrants. If they don't do that, at the same time, they cannot expect that the EU will show solidarity with them in terms of delivering EU funds. So whether, I mean, if you are in this European family, it's for all the consequences. It's not only for receiving and not giving. So I think that, of course, I mean, the pressure is going to be big in these countries. And I mean, I think that politically, it was also played in that way, that you put forward the migration proposal now, and if countries are not moving forward, there will be economic consequences.
Will it be, well...
No, this is my take.
Conditionality? Conditionality again?
No, this is my take.
Yes.
We have to wait for the specific proposal this next week, but the fact that both negotiations might start at the same time in the council, I think it's a way of, you know, playing and bargaining with both issues at the same time.
Okay. You mentioned briefly the council. When is the next council due?
There is a European summit next week, which surprises us all when we came from me particularly. I totally forgot that there was a summit in next week in late September, and the leaders are going to discuss primarily how to strengthen Europe and European sovereignty in the aftermath of the pandemic, for example, in terms of industry and in terms of the digital agenda. And they are all going to discuss also some other foreign affairs issues, for example, Turkey or China. So, yes, and maybe they will talk about other economic issues as well.
Okay. Well, good to know. So you will be still busy next week. Yes. I noted her idea or her mention of building a European cloud. I mean, this is one dimension of digital Europe, where yes. Europe perhaps has been a bit late or relatively dependent on external companies.
Yes. So basically, on digital part, I mean, there were the experts, or when I spoke to some diplomats, they were not very happy with her remarks in terms of considering that she was digital is one of the big priorities. It didn't play such an big role in her speech. What she basically made is recalling all the ongoing work and announced proposals on to strengthen Europe on AI, supercomputing, cloud computing, 5G, for example, having a more, let's say, human-centered artificial intelligence. One of the proposals that she mentioned, and actually it's going to be discussed next week by the leaders, and this is a bit of a novelty, is the creation of a European-wide electronic ID. So basically, this will come on top of some of the electronic IDs that that member states are having and citizens are using in their countries to use European cross-border services. I think we still need to see whether maybe having a single electronic ID, European electronic ID, will be enough also to operate in your member states, or whether you will need two different cards or different IDs for your national services and for European services. I mean, of course, this is part of, I guess, of the discussion and the technical work, because this is something, it's an idea that has been there before, and there was some some technical work done over the past couple of years, but now this is something that will be developed. I think the proposal, the Commission proposal, will come during the first half of the 2021. And
that would be, I believe, this would be very good. That, I mean, to if we look at the plan to have a conference on the future of Europe.
Yes.
Some people say, well, we see, well, of course, there has been some crisis, but say we see new ambition on the part of the EU. There were promises made, yes, but there is nothing coming up.
Yes.
Ursula von der Leyen mentioned it, but...
Yeah, so yeah, this gives me the opportunity to speak briefly about how the reception was in the European Parliament, and also to recall that the State of the Union address took place in Brussels because of the coronavirus situation. I mean, the speech, of course, was meant to be in Strasbourg, and it was the first big plenary session that was scheduled in Strasbourg after six, 7 months of this exceptional situation because of the pandemic. But given how the situation has deteriorated over the past weeks and during and after the summer break, the Parliament took the decision of having the plenary session, this plenary session in Brussels. And so yes, the Parliament, I mean, the largest political groups, the Liberal, the Socialist, the EPP, there was a broad, positive reception of von der Leyen's speech. They were more or less happy. I mean, they highlighted a few things that they believed that they were insufficient, and a couple of them were precisely the conference on the future of Europe, where there was just a very quick reference by von der Leyen, and the other one was the own resources. The new own resources system, the new taxes and levies that needs to be agreed to pay back the huge amount of money that we're gonna borrow from the market, 700 billion euros, to finance the recovery. So basically, during the speech, von der Leyen made a reference to the new digital tax proposal that the Commission will put forward in early 2021, and she also made a reference to the other big one of the most controversial ones, new resources, that will be the CO2 adjustment mechanism. Mm-hmm. That will come also during the first half of 2021, but she didn't enter into details on how, I mean, the sequencing, on how will it be, any detail about them. So the Parliament was also a bit disappointed in this regard. And also, because I see that we're running out of time, another big issue, of course, or two big issues that we didn't mention so far in her speech were unrelated, were the rule of law and the anti-racism and diversity dimension of and policies of in Europe. And we have to remember that there was, of course, a very big anti-racism momentum after the
anti what I the sound is
racism.
Yeah.
After George Floyd was killed. So the Commission, basically the announcement is that the Commission will put forward all this new anti-racism strategy, and that will include also, for example, expanding the list of hate crimes, and also, for example, creating the first Commission anti-racism coordinator. At the same time, she also mentioned that she will put forward a new LGBTI strategy, and she made a reference that and it was one of the lines that was more applauded by the hemicycle, was that there cannot be free LGBTI zones in Europe, in a reference to Poland. And then on the rule of law, People were a bit disappointed because she said that the EU funds cannot go to corrupt people and people having conflict of interest. But I think some experts and diplomats were a bit disappointed that she didn't want beyond, for example, when it comes to the judiciary reform or the overall rule of law situation in countries like Hungary and Poland, and how the situation has deteriorated in these countries. So she was rather weak on pointing the situation, rule of law situation in inside Europe and in concrete in these countries.
Well, I think we've come to the end of, because time is limited. We'll have to get back together, yes. I understand, because so much is on the table. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me.
And listen to you sometime soon.
I'll see you next time.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.